Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We have a new series I'm excited to share.
I am too.
With our listeners. This can be beneficial to you if you're a church worker or if you know a church worker and love and care for a church worker,
married,
which I hope you do.
Married to a church worker, have a church worker parent.
Or you are a member of a church where there are servants in the church, like pastors, teachers, deaconesses, DCEs.
So this is for everybody.
For everybody.
Look
yes.
at that. Bingo.
Nice segue, huh? So, caring for church workers, church worker wellness. In studio with us today, Deaconess Heidi Gaiman of ilovemyshepherd.com. She's a licensed mental health provider. I'm excited to find out what that means. Licensed clinical social worker. You've been on KFUO a number of times to help us sort out those things in our heads. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in to help us talk about caring for our church workers. What does it mean to take care of our church workers? We've got a number of topics in this series to dig through. Looking forward to looking at that. Okay, give us your street cred. What makes you a licensed mental health provider?
That is the initials they give me after completing a degree and after completing some clinicals and doing therapy with people that says, you could do this. You can. And I think the coolest part of what I do as a deaconess and then a licensed clinical social worker, mental health care provider, is that I get to marry theology and God's word and where he would lead us and guide us and the grace that he gives us and law and gospel and all that with the way God designed our bodies and the way God created our minds to work and our emotions to inform us and all of that good stuff. And so I think marrying those two things is part of what this series that I have on YouTube, Ministry Talks, is all about, that we're gonna talk around, I think, for these worker wellness segments. And understanding that there are some ways to inform ourselves through Scripture. And then from there, God gives us all kinds of resources, you know, scientific research and people's wisdom and all of that within the body of Christ to discuss around.
So using this Lutheran lens, this Lutheran worldview, this Lutheran ethos, as we look at these first article gifts that God has given us in terms of caring for ourselves, caring for our neighbors, for our church workers. So you have that. You mentioned this YouTube series that to help us with it as well, and so we're going to point to that a few times as well. Folks can click on that and watch your face on a YouTube video.
It's true. It's a little bit guerrilla style. You know, I'm not going to lie. It's me in my house in Nebraska giving you, you know, but the idea is to create an open conversation. You know, I'm going to give you some scriptural foundations. I'm going to give you some research and TED Talks and books to look at and things like that. But more than anything, I'm hoping that it spurs church workers, members of churches, to have a discussion about how do these things interact and what does that look like in your life? How's that different than in my life? And how can we support and uplift each other in it?
So you're a licensed clinical social worker, also a deaconess. What do you know firsthand about church workers?
Well, I get to reside in a ministry family myself. I did not grow up in a ministry family. And so, you know, I met my husband in college and he's a pastor. I knew what I was getting into. And I'm still some days like, what in the world am I getting into? You know, and I think that's how ministry life really feels.
He says
a lot
the same
of the
thing.
Times. Yeah, right. It's true. He does.
I'm just kidding.
But we, I think, have these gifts to share, as you said, some knowledge and wisdom to share. And as I existed in my own life and then also existed in worker wellness within RSOs and within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod itself and in my work leading women's retreats and all of that, I began to realize that more conversation around the topics was necessary more than anything else. I can give you all the resources in the world, but sometimes the best thing you can do is just have an open conversation and ask, what is God doing here?
Absolutely. And you have a lot of different facets to your life. So you have a lot of that experience of having a lot of different vocations and having to kind of see how all of those things interact with each other. And so this first episode that you have for Ministry Talks, talking about...
That sounds like a very clinical term, doesn't it? Does this first episode.
Episode. Yeah, not that we're kind of episode, Andy.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Not quite.
I derailed us.
You did. I had such a good segue, too.
Sorry.
Man. Anyway.
With the segue.
So, living in... living in a house with a church or a ministry worker, mm-hmm. how do we kind of identify where those places in our lives intersect?
Right. I think that's what I started with this episode, I should say, because I think that we just need to be honest that those things intersect. Instead, sometimes in the past, our answer has been like, this is the church over here.
Here's this life.
This is our, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. This is our home over here. And this is maybe like work community over here. And then we have other boxes we really like and we utilize too. But as a ministry family, it can be so powerful just to recognize that these things have interplay. They are going to affect and impact each other. It's going to, someone's health and wellness in the church is going to impact mine to some degree. And that's maybe part of the design of the body in Christ, but there's balance and boundaries there too. And then same thing within the community and the ministry family impacting the congregation, impacting the institution, that your role there too. They all intersect.
So instead of boxes, do you view it more like a Venn diagram where the circles kind of overlap and all these things are, or is there a better illustration?
Yeah.
I'm a visual person.
Visual person.
I'm a mental person. Right. I'm a visual person.
Right. We have somebody that can help you with that, right, Andy?
I have actually a tool that I use and it is more like a spider web. So it's like a web diagram.
Oh,
and
now
so
that's confusing.
Yeah. There's a house, and I think being honest biblically that the house, the family, who we are as individuals in that context is the center. That's how God created us, mm-hmm. you know, that is where we are raised. That's where we are little churches, I think. Isn't that Luther?
Right. That's where mm-hmm. we as parents raise up our children mm-hmm. in the Word. Yeah. Yes, we are gathering together with our congregation in a church building for mm-hmm. divine service. But a lot of instruction happens at home. That's where we're nurturing and teaching our children mm-hmm. God's Word. And yeah. So what is in the video about the intersections of the ministry house, talk about feelings and truth. What's the difference between feelings and truth? Are feelings not truth?
Ooh, that's good. That's a bold question.
Thank
out of
you.
The gate.
That's me.
It is.
Always bold.
Right, out of the gate. I think that we like clean-cut things, just like we like our boxes. We like things that are really clean-cut. Here's truth over here, and here's feelings over here. And the listener cannot see my hands, and they're on opposite sides of the room. But they're not that clean. God gives us truth in Scripture, and that capital T truth, that's so important. And so can we understand our feelings, be informed by them in any way outside of Scripture? No, because they will lie. You know, they're epic liars. But guess what? They're also not the father of lies, the devil. Our feelings right. have a purpose. They were created as first article gifts. And to some degree, third article gifts in the Holy Spirit, that I think that we understand the Spirit both in absolute truth in Scripture, but also in the way God works and moves inside our being. And so those things do overlap more than we'd like. We can only understand both truth and feelings around the context of God's Word as our foundation.
My feelings are shaped by a number of things, right? Including things that are affected by the fall. Mm-hmm. So when the world says, listen to your heart, my heart may lie.
Mm-hmm. Probably will.
It probably yeah. will, because
it wants what it wants.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a comic like that. Mm-hmm. Follow your heart.
Okay. Sin. Right. Right.
So go with the truth.
Right. Exactly. And if we are people, though, devoid of feelings and we only embrace truth, then we end up
lying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We end up as robots of the faith. And since God didn't create that, since God gives us free will and choices and our own expression of faith around his word, always founded in that, it isn't a genuine thing either to not have any emotions and feelings. And so I think balancing that, especially in family and in church, and then the interaction of family and church, makes it really complicated. You know, what does that look like? It's going to look very different for each person. And again, that's why it's a conversation, not a strict line in the sand of this is how we operate.
So you're saying that this is just kind of messy and complicated and part of life.
Right. So usually when I walk into a room, I'm like, here's some mess. But let's sit in the mess. Let's discern the mess around God's word, you know?
But being real about it is a really important thing. I think there can be a facade between family life and or life at home and life maybe in the church setting that can be very hard if people... If you know the ministry worker in one situation and don't necessarily in another, and bringing those worlds together gets messy.
It does. And I think that, like you said, following your heart isn't always accurate. Same thing. Following what we think we should do as church workers is also not accurate. Like, our brain will lie to us too. Like, this idea of what we should do or should look like is also a lie. And so always around God's word, understanding what is genuine and what genuine looks like in a certain situation. When am I vulnerable and say, yeah, my family really maybe struggles with deciding the place of sports in our lives too. Or my family has had some counseling in the past about this particular topic. When to share that and when not to is messy and complicated, but very important.
Mm-hmm. So whether we're talking about ourselves or someone else that we care for, our pastor or someone else who a church worker who we care for, being realistic and not expecting them to be perfect, and not expecting pastor's kids to be perfect.
Amen.
Or the DCE's kids to be perfect, or the organist's kids to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
The church choir directors.
Or anyone.
Cover everybody.
Right. Or the person sitting in the pew in front of you. We have a lot of open conversation now, I think, about how little ones, you know, we love the noise in worship. We want little ones to be in worship. That means that we also have to apply that to the person sitting next to us.
Absolutely. We are all out of time, but we have more to talk about. We'll be back. We'll continue this series with Deaconess Heidi Gaiman, ilovemyshepherd.com, licensed mental health provider. I'm going to practice saying that a number of times. Thanks, Heidi, for being our guest.
Thanks.
I'm Eddie Bates.
I'm Sarah Gilseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.